Time for our weekly check-in with Greg Ruberg, the CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital, right in Two Harbors, and a regular and loyal check-in person for COVID-19. Thank you so much, Greg, for calling in once again.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Well, we hear it's been an active week with vaccinations. Do you want to give us a quick update on that?
Yes, we've had great progress over this past week, and actually over the past couple of weeks around vaccination, both first and second doses. So we did, actually yesterday, did a remote clinic up in Finland, Minnesota. We did fill that clinic in the morning, and we came back and filled an afternoon pop-up clinic in Two Harbors. So we're seeing, you know, very nice progress in the percentage of people 65 and older that are vaccinated. And again, kind of based on our success over the past couple of weeks, we are not getting any significant allocation of vaccine next week because we're doing so well, and they're allowing other counties across the state to catch up. So we're in a good position in Lake County as of today.
That's great. Do we have any idea of what percentage of 65 and older people are vaccinated? Do we have those numbers?
Yeah, so according to our records, so when you look at the MDH website today, we're just at about 24% of the Lake County population receiving at least one vaccine, and that does not include our vaccinations as of yesterday. So there was another 120 done yesterday, and so it's about a two or so day lag of MDH to kind of catch up, and what they do is they pull that out of a database that we submit information to the night of our clinic. So that'll be a little bit higher. We think that we're into a couple of hundred people now left 65 and older in Lake County that have not had a vaccine. So, we're pushing well into the 60-70% of people in that age group that have had it.
Wow.
At least one.
Yeah, I don't know much about numbers, but that does sound really good to me, and really glad to hear that. Can you tell by the, not wait list, but, I mean, I assume your clinics are still filling, every vaccine is being used. Do you have any sense of... I mean, is it still just as hard to get in there, or is there a longer time lag?
Yeah, so it is actually getting much easier to get in. So when we talk about this percentage of people over 65 being vaccinated, we're going to be pushing right up to the, you know, very high 80s and 90% here in the very near future. What we're seeing, you know, typically our clinics, if we had, you know, say 1 to 200 vaccines available, they were basically filling in minutes between the online and the phone would take a little bit longer, of course. But and so we actually saw a clinic this week go 2.5 hours before it filled, which was unbelievable. I mean, we knew it was going to take longer just because we've had a lot more vaccine coming into Lake County. The majority of people 65 and older have been vaccinated, and there's been some additional vaccination opportunities outside of the county. So we know that every week it's going to take a little bit longer to fill. I still believe we could fill another pop-up clinic next week if we can get the vaccine, or if we're able to somehow figure that out. Right now the allocation is zero, but so we've been very pleased with that. I think it feels to me that the pressure and the phone calls and the frustration from people is pretty minimal now, because again, people that were really frustrated competing for, you know, if you had 1,500 people competing for 60 doses, it's pretty frustrating. But when you get to the point that there's
yes,
much better supply and less demand is better.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, and from what, if you read close to the as many factual accounts as you can, it sounds like this is turning out the more vaccine is out there, the more they can study the vaccine, and the more they study it, the more they're finding to be indeed a very successful vaccine. And yet there's still a lot of caution out there. Do you want to talk a little bit about sort of what's the important message that we should be getting about this?
Yeah, this is something I've spoke to, you know, quite a bit, both on the radio and also during some of the newspaper interviews, is the vaccine's been an amazing development, and it's an amazing tool to help us fight a public health crisis. The challenge we continue to see, and one of my biggest frustrations in this entire thing is how somehow in our country we've turned a public health crisis into a political topic. And I don't quite understand that, and all parties, I'm not, you know, saying just one.
Right.
But, you know, I think when you look at the mask mandate, you know, people say, well, you know, I'm an American, I have rights, I shouldn't have to wear a mask, and you can't make me wear one. And then the other side is saying, well, we should mandate everybody to wear one. And really, in a public health crisis, I'm not sure that how do we ever get to the point that we have to mandate it? If it's the right thing to do based on science and all of that, you know, you'd think the majority of people would wear one. But again, I talked to a CEO in Arkansas again yesterday, and they're going to be lifting their mask mandate April 1. And so, of course, you get the political battling that started immediately after that was announced. And we've seen states like Texas and Mississippi and others do the same. So
Right, and isn't that kind of amplified by, I mean, you might see in the media a picture or hear a story about one person in a grocery store that refused to wear a mask, and that creates this huge either a condemning thing or a thing that people will defend. But regardless, it just highlights actually what is a very minimal problem when there are much bigger problems. For instance, the disproportionality of certain communities where it's very, very high COVID rates because they absolutely cannot do the recommendations required. So, I mean, do you think there's the media could, not that the media is one entity, of course, but, you know, it has been exacerbated by how this is portrayed.
That's a great point. You absolutely see that there's kind of a couple different strategies are being used. Number one is fear. I mean, I actually stopped watching the national news for probably about 2 or 3 months. I got to the point that I just couldn't watch it anymore. And I used to. I've always been somebody that follows the news carefully and try to see both sides, both, you know, different news channels and kind of where they stand. But it got to the point that when you look at fear, you know, despite vaccines coming out, it was pretty depressing to watch some of the kind of the breaking news and lead stories. I think that the topic or the content was important because there were people, case rates were increasing and people were dying and ICUs were full. It's a real issue. But again, if you're going to use fear to try to motivate people to following certain behavior, I don't think it's always effective. The other thing that you were seeing is a lot of shaming.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of this goes around social media and also on the news and other channels. And again, that becomes political because you start to see political groups or ideology shaming the other side and vice versa. And again, I don't think that's helpful. One good example was kind of this indoor versus outdoor discussion about where spreading of COVID happens. You know, where's the higher incidence of transmission?
Right.
Masks, using them or not, or one or two masks is the other thing. And it just, vaccines is another thing. You know, at one point we need ultra cold storage, and then now we don't, and it's never ending. And
right.
I think that inconsistent messaging just gets people frustrated, and then they try to point out the faults or the flaws in that, and it just creates more distrust and maybe lack of direction or following the science.
Yes. You know, one thing, you know, I've noticed is, you know, it seems like there's a real hesitation to proclaim how good these vaccines are if people are afraid of reckless behavior or letting things go too soon. And yet, if the vaccines are as good as they are, then that is science as well. And shouldn't there be some kind of guidelines, nuanced guidelines, of course, but for people who have been vaccinated or who know they have antibodies? Like, that's one thing that I am wondering, where is the new guidelines for people vaccinated? And are we just so low trust that we just all have to act as if the pandemic is still exactly where it was 3 months ago? Or what's the best answer there?
You know, I think this is maybe one area that we've really fallen short as a country, both maybe federal, state, and I would hope that we're trying to take a little bit different approach in Lake County. But if you look at consistent, I think accurate, honest, consistent messaging, and again, appropriate messaging. I've seen things come out right. You read it and like, well, that just doesn't make a lot of sense. And then a week later, it shifts and changes back a different direction.
Yeah, yep.
Then it shifts back, and people say, well, this whole thing is flawed and it's corrupt, and we're not going to follow any of it. I think when I look, I'm vaccinated now as a healthcare worker, and when I got my vaccine, I knew it was. I mean, it was an important tool in fighting. I felt good about getting the vaccine, and because I never knew would I be one of the people that are in their 40s that would react in a negative way. You saw marathon workers die, again, a very, very low percentage, but you just never know if that's going to be you or not. So I felt like, okay, it's one more tool that I've got that will help me get me through this. I have not changed my behavior at all. I still don't go into large groups. I still wear my mask when I'm out in public all the time. I still wash my hands when I touch things before touching food or my face. So really, to me, it reinforced that everything else that I was doing was the right thing. It's adding one more precaution. I've never felt, and this is me personally, and this is my own feeling, but I've never felt like going into the grocery store, I had a right to not wear a mask as an American. I felt like this is a public health crisis. It's the right thing to do for everybody around me. I don't want to get it from somebody or give it to somebody. So I just never felt like my rights were being violated. The fact that, you know, if it wasn't mandated, I would still wear a mask because that's what the science suggests. And I think when you look at this whole concept about if you vaccinate enough people, we're going to get reckless, I just don't believe that. I can speak for Lake County. I think since the beginning of this, it's been challenging for all of us. But Lake County residents and the people that live here have done an amazing job of overall of following precautions. I mean, they wear masks when they go out. They wash their hands. Our vaccination rates are, for our staff and our 65-plus are very, very high compared to the state and the country. So, and again, I think our results prove it, that our case rate is very low. We have kids going back to school. We've got sports happening with appropriate precautions. So we're doing the right things. The other point I would add is there's always going to be a handful of people that aren't going to adhere or be compliant. And again, it doesn't mean we all need to throw it out the window. It's, we need enough people doing it to control. It doesn't have to be 100% or perfect. And sometimes I think we forget that when the one person in the grocery store will not wear a mask and says it's their right, we can work with that. I mean, you don't have to agree with it or shame them or put fear toward them, but we can do it differently.
Yeah. One thing I was wondering, too, I mean, you say your actions are all the same, and I see you, I think you're saying because the science shows that continues to minimize risk overall, and that it's also courtesy. I mean, a grocery store owner should not be the one that has to figure out who's been vaccinated and who hasn't, who need to wear a mask and who not need to wear a mask. But what about things that, everything is a cost benefit, and so the costs of much of what we've done, if that cost suddenly, if the benefit is heavy and the cost is no longer as nearly as strong, like things like travel or, I'm just wondering if you think there should be, people should feel free to, okay, if I really am, I'm vaccinated and I hear that really does minimize my risk, that I'm now allowed to go see my loved ones or my elderly mother, she should feel free to do some socializing that is so important to her now. And are we seeing those as guidelines or do people just have to make their own decisions?
Well, I think we should have more clear guidelines and some direction, but not maybe mandates. So I think what we can say is, I mean, if you have in the case of your example of a mother that's been vaccinated, socializing is very important. So vaccination is one more tool to allow you to do that safely. So if you're going to go if you're going to go visit your mother and she's vaccinated and you are as well, if you can do an outside visit 6 feet apart, great, all the better. If you can't, you can still do it inside, but again, follow those precautions of being 6 feet apart. Wear your mask when you're visiting if you feel like that's the best way to mitigate risk. I think what we don't want to say is, well, you're both vaccinated, so it's a free-for-all. Throw your mask away, go and eat together and share food. We just don't understand, I think, yet kind of the impact of the vaccines, kind of the transmission. Mm-hmm. We know we can still transmit. But I personally would feel awful if I was vaccinated and thought I could do whatever I want, and I brought COVID into the grocery store and infected somebody's, elderly mother or father, I would feel terrible. It's just not a risk I would take. But back to so I'll wear the mask. But
yeah.
I think all of the decisions we make in life have a risk-benefit kind of
right.
realm to them, that we have to decide what risks are worth it. Again, I think reckless behavior is reckless, but there's things we can do safely to socialize and do other activities and walks and outside activities, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was reading this article about the communication difficulty in sort of turning scientific research into messages for the public, and how it is kind of a different message whether you're hearing we don't know whether this vaccine means that you will not transmit the virus versus we do know many things about viruses in general and vaccines in general, and we have good reason to believe that you are not likely to transmit it when you are vaccinated. However, we don't have enough data to confirm that yet or no specifics. It seems like those are two different messages. One is feels like a mandate and one that could actually almost undermine science, like trust in science in general, because we talk about the fear of reckless behavior. On the other side, there's the fear that the goalposts are being moved for some hidden reason and that, I'll never be able to take off my mask now because people just want me to wear a mask. And it seems like just the way that our scientific research is messaged is critical to either bringing us together or bringing us apart again.
Well, I think I would admit, I think the goalposts at times have been changed. And I think that's what undermines trust and kind of faith in the process. It's just very unfortunate. Our messaging has been poor as a country in terms of, don't wear a mask, then wear a mask, then wear two. And We need X amount of vaccination for herd immunity. Well, wait, no, we need it higher. We just said that to get the public to this number. That is just not appropriate. So I think when we do that kind of stuff, we just undermine the entire effort. But the one thing I would share as an example, I look back to last summer when the FDA came out and said we've got this vaccine that's, you know, really about 50% effective in preventing symptomatic COVID-19, and it would get emergency approval. Well, the studies continued, they wrapped up, and now we know it's 95%, now the Johnson & Johnson is saying 100. So that is, I mean, that's good news. So that is showing that it's effective and it's efficacy. The efficacy is good.
Yep.
But what we heard from the health department for healthcare workers in the last couple of weeks is said, and this is different than what I understood previously, but we thought we'd get vaccinated, we're protected well, and we can, you know, kind of get back to caring for people. The most recent guidance is if you're a healthcare worker and you have a direct high-risk exposure to somebody with COVID, you still have to quarantine. So I've had healthcare professionals tell me, well, this is frustrating because we thought we were getting vaccinated to prevent all of that, and now we have to potentially quarantine if it's high risk. Well, and the reason for that is because we're dealing with very vulnerable people and people that are at high risk if they get COVID. So again, as we learn, we should have messaged all of that differently. To say that this thing's 100% effective and you're good after this, that's not the right message. It undermines trust and it creates confusion, and then it creates kind of these conspiracy theories that we hear. And again, I think, and I guess my philosophy is always kind of this open, honest communication with what we know. Don't make promises that you can't live up to. But I think that what I keep coming back to, and I've got a quote written on my desk that somebody shared with me back in 2012 when I went through a community leadership program. And it's, and I'm sure many people have heard this, but it's, for every complex problem, there's an answer that is clear, simple, and wrong.
That's great.
I think about that every single day, because there's times that people will come into my office or will call me or send me an email and say, I don't know why you're doing this. It's simple. Just do this. Well, when you talk about a COVID-19 pandemic, which is a 1 in 100 year or a couple hundred year kind of a pandemic, it is a complex problem. So there is no clear right answer. I mean, there's always going to be these trade-offs in this gray. And again, if we communicate effectively, make good, solid decisions, and try to maintain some consistency, it's the best thing that we can do. So I mean, I cannot tell you how many times people have stopped me in the grocery store, called me, or emailed and said, why would you do this? You should just do this. And it sounds simple. And then the minute you respond and say, well, we don't do it that way because of this, this, and this, they're like, oh, I never thought about that. So, and we don't get it right all the time. We're not perfect, believe me. We've learned as we've gone as well. But again, it's never as simple as just here's the right answer.
Yeah. Well, that was very well spoken. And it seems like the theme that we keep coming back to is there does need to be a certain level of trust. Like, you're in a position to make decisions in a very complex situation. And so to some degree, maybe to a large degree, there just needs, and the higher the level of trust, the calmer we can become. And it seems like trust is the often the missing ingredient. And so we will just keep working to build that trust. And I think I do think the radio is a great venue for that, and also all the communicating that you, I mean, it seems like you've made it a point to not only make decisions but communicate about them in Lake County. And I think that's, you know, there's so many reasons things are going better here, and I think the communication is one of the key ones. So thank you for that. Anything else, Greg, before we sign off for the week?
Well, again, I would just kind of reinforce to people, again, when you look across the world and across the country, there are some things that we know. So again, just because we're doing well in Lake County doesn't mean we should kind of back off. So again, I referred to an article that you and I have discussed around kind of what Japan has done, and they emphasize these really the three C's. It's closed spaces, which is the indoor kind of spaces. Number two is the crowded places, so people all getting together where you can't maintain that 6 feet distance and all of those separation. And
yep.
The third is close contact. And again, those are things that we just have to keep doing. And I guess I also tell our team here is that, you know, I'm a human. I read some of this stuff. I see the conflicting messages. And there's been times my trust is shaken a little bit where I think, I just don't understand this. Why are we saying this today when we said this yesterday? What's going to be said tomorrow? But I think we can still be critical and not throw everything out. We can still kind of sort through that and ask for answers, try to get clarification. I've, again, in Lake County, I've asked for people, if you have a question about what we made a decision on at Lakeview or with our partners at Lake County Public Health, reach out and ask. We are not perfect. We're trying to make really good decisions in a complex environment. And when we're wrong, we tell people, you know what, we didn't make a great decision there. We're going to fix it. I have no problem saying that. So, again, I think it's we're trying to sort through this and trying to do the right thing. And we, again, I think people have done a really good job, and we just need to keep it up so we can all get back to what we want to do.
Yeah, and all trends are pointing in positive directions right now, so that it's really hopeful as well. Thank you so much, Greg, for coming on this morning, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Greg Ruberg, CEO of the Lakeview Clinic and Hospital, doing the weekly check-in. He is pretty devoted to that weekly check-in, and it's been going on for almost a year now.